Well, good morning, and thanks for tuning in to the morning show on 88.5 KRFY, our community radio station here in North Idaho. Today is Wednesday, November 12th, 2025, and I'm Susie Prez. I have two guests, and they're both smiling at me right now here in the studio today. I have Lissa DeFreitas. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Lissa.
Good morning, Susie.
And we have Denny Williamson.
Hi,
Good morning, Denny.
Hi.
And you are both co-directors of the Sandpoint Friendship Station, a local respite ministry dedicated to offering compassionate support and meaningful companionship to individuals and families facing the daily challenges of all types of memory loss, including Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, stroke, and age-related dementia. Yes. We're going to hear all about this new and inspiring program that is in our community. Let's get to our interview because there's a lot to talk about. And I always think it's really nice to talk and find out who the guests are, even though you have beautiful smiles on your face. Let's start with a little bit about each of you, your background, and how or what led you to creating this new initiative service organization called Sandpoint Friendship Station. Lissa, let's start with you, Lissa DeFreitas. You're both co-directors, co-managers of this new program. Who are you, your background, and what brought you to this new work?
Thank you, Susie. Am I close enough here?
I'm
getting closer.
Okay.
I want to thank you for the gift of being here and getting to share with our community about this new program. A little bit about myself. I've been in the social work field for over 35 years. But what I want to say about it, there was like a sacred seed that was planted in my heart way when I was 20 years old. I had the gift of being at bedside with my 95-year-old grandmother at the end of her life. At 20 years old, I found that phenomenal because I never, ever witnessed someone being at the end of life. That experience activated me. It was like I knew in that moment I wanted to work with elders and I wanted to work at the end of life. So probably the closest in the most recent experience I've had was getting to have the opportunity to work with the Bonner Community Hospice as a volunteer and bereavement coordinator. And in that role, I got to work with amazing volunteers that worked at bedside, that worked with people with dementia. And I was able to see the gift of their joy for to be able to share what they love to do, and that was being a healing presence. So that was really wonderful work that's really kind of leading into what we're doing here because it is an all-volunteer program. And so I will additionally have the gift of being able to work with our community volunteers to be able to provide the service. But the other thing that I got to participate in with hospice was community education. That was a big part of the work that I've done around bereavement and training for our volunteers. And I also had the beautiful gift of teaming with KRFY in the podcast and creating Living and Dying Well with you, Susie. And that was such a beautiful gift in my heart. So even though I've had a lot of different work with diverse populations, vulnerable populations like people living with AIDS and walking with them at the end of their life, and working with the homeless families, working with women in domestic violence sheltering, Nothing has prepared me for this journey as much as living with someone with dementia. And I have been in community with Dan and Pam for 17 plus years. And I've been able to witness the first diagnosis when he was first diagnosed and he was sharing in the community about what it's like living with dementia. And to see as the years have gone by, to see the progression of the illness, and to see that now there's many things that are part of his life that have faded away. But at the core of his being is that love, is that loving presence, and just the experience of being a care partner. I've been able to recognize what kind of a huge job that is and the toll that it can often take on a care partner. So that's really huge because I've had experiences in my life professionally where there was a burnout experience where I literally did a crash and burn. And so through that experience, I learned how important it was about loving yourself, putting your oxygen mask on first, and to pay attention to what's important in terms of self-care. Because first of all, I really learned you can't do this alone. And secondly, you have to be prepared for the journey, because the journey can be very long. So now we're at a point in our experience where we're probably in the moderate stage, but it's 24/7. So I was able to see, you know, how important it is to have support and community. And that's what really, for me, is preparing me for this journey with the Sandpoint Friendship Station, is to recognize that the care partners will have an opportunity for respite, and the people will have an opportunity to build community.
So your early work with hospice and observing as a young woman, someone passing, I don't know what you call it, but we celebrate birth.
Yes.
And we don't have that same celebration. We remember, we have memorials, but that moment in time you noticed and recognized as a 20-year-old,
yes,
which is pretty profound.
I felt that.
So it has launched you through your life, mm-hmm, with understanding things differently. And I think that's pretty rare. Mm-hmm. And so that has been your path.
It has been my path, and it has been extremely moving, you know, uh-huh, the journey. It's a, mm-hmm, soul journey for me.
Right.
And, you know, when I look at people that are living with dementia, and the care partners, their loss is very different than anticipatory loss like you would see in a hospice.
Right.
Or even sudden loss, because it's an incremental change over time. Mm-hmm. And so little bit by little bit, you're almost going through that loss.
Right. So we're going to get into all of that, those parameters, so to speak, of these losses while we're talking about Sandpoint Friendship Station, because that has led you to create something like this.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Denny Williamson, are you calling yourself directors?
We're directors.
We're both directors.
Yeah.
Co-directors of the Sandpoint Friendship Station. Mm-hmm. Tell us about you. What led you? What have you done in your life that has brought you to this moment in time?
Thanks. Well, my background is in education and freelance writing, and I'm in the quote-unquote retirement stage of life. But I have come out of retirement totally to join with Lisa in this really important work. And my reason for doing that is very personal. My husband, Gary, lived with a rare kind of younger onset dementia that started when he was only in his 50s. And I became his caregiver for more than 10 years. We were working overseas in Africa when he started to have cognitive decline, so we had to move back to the United States. We moved back to our house in Pennsylvania, but I realized I wouldn't be able to do this journey by myself. So we packed up a truck and got some friends to help us drive to Sandpoint, Idaho, because my younger son lives here. And so I now live intergenerationally with my younger son, his wife, and their children.
A bonus.
Yeah.
A beautiful bonus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have done some granny nannying on the side now, too. Right. But altogether in that house, we did finish well, because as Lisa already mentioned, it's a journey that you really can't take by yourself. My husband died in 2021. And in that year, I kind of mobilized a group of people in my home church, the Nazarene Church here in town, called Caremunity, to start looking intentionally at how to help people who are long-term caregivers, care receivers, and seniors living alone here in town. And in May 2024, Lisa and I came together for a listening session at my house. We brought some people together just to hear what caregivers needed and how we might help to support the community. And Lisa had been reading Daphne Johnson's book called Reclaiming Joy Together. And I had just finished an online ministry course on working with people with dementia and meeting their spiritual needs. So Lisa and I set out together to contact this national organization called Respite for All.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like, so you're in process, you're moving forward based on your own personal experience. Mm-hmm. And Denny, your experience was very personal in being directly involved. And when you were talking about the process you went through with your husband and realizing moving to Sandpoint, partnering with the larger family, the intergenerational, your son, it's not just the caregivers that need the support, but it is also the person living with it. Mm-hmm. And so that it is honoring them for the life they've had and as it changes and develops into whatever it is going to, and it's probably different for everyone, mm-hmm. you, and especially after your partner, your husband passed in 2021, you paid attention and saw the need for more. And
yeah, I'm really hoping that there's people listening today who are either dealing with caregiving right now themselves, or they're a neighbor, or they're a friend, or they're a church member, and they know somebody who's going through this process. It changes everyone, not just the person who gets the diagnosis, but the immediate family, and we want to say the community too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you sort of alluded to this larger organization as you did your listening and kind of came together with Lissa, mm-hmm. Denny, and Lissa. You realize that this is going on in other places. Mm-hmm. It says here in the little write-up, 59 community ministries. You're calling it a respite ministry, which mm-hmm. is very true. 59 communities across America called Respite for All. This is a model, is a research-based, time-tested solution that local churches and organizations can implement to create thriving communities for our friends living with these challenges.
And when we reached out to Respite for All, they immediately reached back to us. Mm-hmm. Not a week later, like a day later. Yes. We were on a Zoom call with them. We were getting counseling from them. They gave us the materials that we needed to do a startup, and we didn't have to reinvent the wheel. As mm-hmm. Lissa likes to say, we took their best practices, and they helped us to fit it into a community like Sandpoint.
And the Respite for All program started in 2012 in Birmingham, Alabama, and it was founded by Daphne Johnson, and it was in a small little basement of the United Methodist Church. Every time I go to the volunteer training and I see that picture, it just, my heart just expands, because when you think about a seed that was just expanded out exponentially across the nation, now I think that the annual report just came out. There's 65 Respite for All programs in the communities across America and 18 different denominations. Although it is a community-based program, they've given us a model so that we can work with our own community to see how it flows.
So they're very supportive, and you then went to a training. I saw a picture of you both at a training. So not only do they have a model that you can take in, they also have trainings. So how was that? And how did that support your next move into having this here?
That was amazing.
Yeah.
You go ahead.
Well, I'll just say, prior to the training, they provided a lot of online materials. They have a lot of modules with video clips and a lot of print materials. Alyssa and I went through all of it. We did the step-by-step to become directors. We did the step-by-step to form a vision team for our community. So we asked a few people to join us. We asked some pastors and some doctors to look in on what we were doing. So we did the pre-work before we even went to Boise, but I'll let you explain the experience.
Boise was amazing because the church of the cathedral there in Boise had a really big following of volunteers. But we got to see Daphne Johnson, who is the founder, actually being the training facilitator. She is so dynamic, and her heart is so open. This is her passion, to be able to share with others how to create this in our community. And so we had fun. And so they kind of model a little bit about what a daily respite for all would look like. And it is totally fun. I mean, we laughed, we had fun, but we also got tools that we were able to assist our volunteers and tools that we can assist our participants and care partners. So it was phenomenal tools that we received. And then Denny and I were both said, we can do this.
So not only did they give you great information and tools, they inspired you enough to take on this kind of a project.
Yeah.
And here you are talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on to here in our community. You've named it Sandpoint Friendship Station. And there's so many aspects to this, but where do you want to begin? We have this here now. Mm-hmm. You did a training for volunteers, which is going to be there's components.
Yes.
There's the inspiration, and each community has its own uniqueness. I think it's great that you brought in community members to help form the creative aspect of what this is going to look like.
Yeah.
So where did you begin? How did it start? And just, give us a history of our own.
Well, we were saying to the leaders that were coaching us, if we start this program, and they said, when you start this program. So I'm not sure the order here, but it is a lot to untangle. But one thing about Respite for All Foundation, it is a model of hope and the possibility of it being sustainable. Mm-hmm. And if anybody's listening in and thinking about finances and how they're going to get support that they need in this season of life, the idea of Respite for All is that the resources are donated. That's why it's church-based, mostly because churches will donate space. In our case, we reached out to many churches. We shared the vision, and it was Sandpoint United Methodist Church that said, we have space, and we have a place, and we have a vision that comes alongside of yours to serve the community. So they kind of took us into the home. We had maybe a basket of eggs and we needed a nest for. We're trying to figure out. We had wine that needed to go into a chalice. We have looked at different models of how do we explain ourselves. But we had something precious and they provide a home for it. So it's resources that are donated. Mm-hmm. And my church, the Church of the Nazarene, donated enough money for us to print, to get our feet on the ground. They gave us the Next Steps grant. And then Respite for All actually came forth and gave us seed money. So we've been working with the generosity of people and people who believe in the vision with us.
Wow. It started with a need. It became an inspiration.
Yeah.
And you just organically people step forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit more about where you're at now or kind of how you got to where you're at now.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned bringing community members together, finding the funding and the support. Mm-hmm. And you are housed at the United Methodist Church.
Yes. So one of the things that we put together, we had to put together some foundational things. So one of the foundational things we put together was our website, which is sandpointfriendshipcenter.com. And we had some of our preliminary things that kind of like to be able to share with our community who we are. But I really feel like because this is a volunteer-based program, that our key and our emphasis has been, let's get with the volunteers. So Denny and I, we had some different things out there in the community and the Bonner Bee assisted us in providing an article to be able to share that we're coming on board and we need volunteers. And we had a great showing in August and September. So we have a foundational volunteer pod that gave us the information or the inspiration that we can actually open our doors. Like, we have enough volunteers now that we can incrementally begin to invite participants to be part of the program and open our doors, which we plan to do on December 3rd. So that is going to be our official open.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And so you have a bank, we'll call it, of volunteers. And you've probably created a schedule of what a day looks like. Why don't you walk us through? I know you're going to be open on Wednesdays from 10 to 2.
10 to 2, uh-huh.
And they're on your website, which, again, I'll say is very helpful and useful. There's an application for two different things. Yes. There's an application for volunteers, if you wanted to explore that, and then get training. There's also an application for
participants.
Nice word. Mm-hmm. So what would a day in the life look like from your 10 to 2? I'm sure you've created your schedule and kind of know what is it going to do to support? Because you talk about support a lot.
Yeah, I think I want to kind of put a bigger framework around it, because this is really meant to first provide the respite, which is, you know, a break from something really hard for our care partners. But for our participants, it's creating a place of fellowship, a place of connection and community. It's like building community. But our motto is connect to joy. So we're going to be all about having fun and building connections with one another. And with people with dementia, we have, you know, from mild to moderate, we'll have activities throughout the day, and they're kind of headlined in different categories. Like, we'll have a cognitive activity where we'll be doing something that's going to stimulate the mind. You know, it could be like, think of one day.
Your paper plate dancing.
Yes. Oh, yes, the paper plate thing. That's really fun. And then we have art and movement, like, say, yoga and movement and music.
Are these options that they can kind of go to a station and would they show up with a partner, their caregiver, or can they just be dropped off?
That's a good question.
One thing that is unique about Respite for All model is that there's a no-label model.
Yeah.
Okay. So the volunteers take a four-hour training, and it's actually interactive so that you get to experience what you need to replicate. And after you get your background check and you have gone through the training, you get a name tag that says, I'm part of Friendship Station. Liz has been doing a lot of the volunteer work because her background is in volunteer recruitment and training. Mine is more working with the families who might need to have the respite and might wonder, can the person I love really handle this? So to go, my first thing is to go into their home and have a cup of coffee or tea and meet the participant and the caregiver and just listen to what their needs are. And then they fill out an application. They have some interviews so that we know who they are, what they like, where they're from, things that they might not be able to articulate by themselves, but we know about them and we've created a friendship. Right now we have 7 participants waiting to come to our program. So when their applications are complete, guess what? They get a name tag too. And each of us has our first name on it. Our name tags look exactly alike. So if Elizabeth is going to do something really crazy and pick up 2 paper plates and put on the Nutcracker Suite and start showing how to exercise with 2 paper plates to the Nutcracker Suite, we all will be doing that.
Okay.
And then we will do some painting together. We will have a hot lunch together. And if somebody wants to play balloon volleyball, that's great. But if they're just a little bit interested in doing something quiet, we have a quiet room. Yeah. Our training says that we work together in 2s and 3s. We don't do one-on-ones. And we always try to move in community. So if you have 2 volunteers with 1 participant, the conversations can be very free-flowing, very casual. And I learned this from experience, and Liz is doing it now too. The people that we work with, my husband included, had what they call aphasia, which means that they couldn't find their words or they couldn't speak their words. And so how do you have a calm conversation with someone who has aphasia? It's possible when that person is valued as being part of a group. So I can say, I like this color. Do you think that's good? Or which one do you think we should do? We want to do a service project every week too. Right now we're working on the idea of getting some Veterans Day cards out. I'm working with Mike White Ford to put some veterans cards in the mail. And so, I mean, we're always going to have ways for people to serve. So
yeah, and the thing that I love what you're sharing, Danny, too, is that there is specific activities and projects, and they're going to be different every week.
Okay.
So it's not going to be the same old, same old.
So these are time-tested projects?
Yes.
Through
these
the
are time-tested
rested.
Projects. Yes, that through the Respite for All program. There are a lot of suggestions, and there's some that Danny and I
sure.
have, you know.
From experience.
From our right. experience have seen. But I think the key is that we know that the attention span is not really big, so we our activities are not long incrementally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they might be 20 to 40 minutes long, and then we make that transition. And so it gives that person an opportunity to really be engaged. I mean, it's all about engaging with people. And like Danny said, not everyone is able to engage on their own. Sometimes when people come to work with us, they might be have been with a caregiver and they don't have a lot of conversations and they might not be doing a lot of activities, but all of a sudden they get to go to the Sandpoint Friendship Station and do things they are not used to doing. That's really fun. Not only that, but they get to be with others, and when the others is a whole community, because it's not just other people living with dementia. It's volunteers too. And so I think it's a gift of being able to find and to activate that person to see that they're valued and that they have a purpose, mm-hmm. and that these kinds of things like the service activities can bring a sense of purpose for people.
It's also a place of safe choice, because mm-hmm. part of being your own person, whether you have dementia or not, is to have choices. Mm-hmm. And when you get a lot of no's or you can't, or this is what you have to do now to fill up the day, that's different than the atmosphere that we want to create, is where you're welcomed right at the moment when the car with your caregiver comes in. Somebody will be there in the parking lot to meet you, call you by name, say we're glad to see you,
build personal content. And respectful.
Yeah. And then... what would you like this morning to do first? Do you want to do this or that? We work around round tables, and we have what's called table anchors, which is a very subtle way for our volunteers to have eyes on just a few people. And then a couple of us, and we especially as directors, are kind of roaming to make sure that everything's going well. If somebody is in a bad mood or has a little bit of a crisis, then we know a little bit about how to shift, how to redirect, how to go get a cup of coffee with somebody, how to just take them into a quiet space with a few people and say, hey, we need some cards done or we need this sorted. So would you like to do that? So it's about choice, and the capacity to do that only comes when we have enough volunteers. That's why mm-hmm. we're always saying, if you're listening and you want to volunteer, please do that.
Reach
because
out.
We really do need volunteers of all different kinds of capacities. If you can smile and you can, you know, you can be a friend, that is what you really need to be a volunteer.
Yeah, that's what we tell our volunteers. Really, your gift is your presence, mm-hmm. you know, and your kindness.
A
your
human.
Yes, your loving kindness. And loving kindness goes a long way. I find that true with the person that I'm assisting, because he could get very anxious. But when we're holding that space of love and we're just listening and being present, you can see his whole demeanor change. You can see just the calm happen.
That's
for that
the
person.
Importance of yes. the training mm-hmm. these the volunteers, your volunteers, because they're your experience, yes. Lisa, with your person that you're with now, you've noticed, you're an observer, and mm-hmm. observing a person as they develop and change and grow is an important aspect of being with them,
yes.
and in a respectful, loving kindness way.
Yeah, and I love when Danny and I come together for a volunteer training. One of the things that we might hear from our volunteers is, well,
maybe I'm not sure I can do this, you know. But once they go through the training, they realize, well, really what we're doing is having a lot of fun. And we're being presence, we're being observers, and we're having a lot of fun together. And we're on purpose. And we're sharing a meal together. We're just really, we're really about building community. And how beautiful is that?
Yeah, and we've done this twice so far at the Nazarene Church.
The volunteer training?
Well, the volunteer training we've done twice. And we've also done something called All Aboard to pull on to our Friendship Station railroad theme.
Motif.
Is All Aboard happened. We did two All Aboard sessions for churches after their formal service. And we had it set up like a drop-in, and we did a few activities. And what I really liked about the All Aboards is that we had potential volunteers come to see what it was about, but we also had potential participants come. And so they were mixed together. We had food together, we had some activities together, and it was a real good interactive look or a show and tell, really, for church setting to see how people that they know can be integrated in a really beautiful way into a meaningful situation. So we offer All Aboards too. If anybody's listening and wants to see how they can do an All Aboard, that would be a place where you have a public gathering and maybe you have somebody in your interest group that has dementia, and that's a place we want people to think about volunteering. My friend has dementia now. We've been friends for 30 years, but I don't know how to relate to her now. But you have a long history, and you have a safe history together. You're the perfect volunteer, and we can help you to get into a really positive setting called Friendship Station.
Yeah. It sounds like the All Aboard program is not just to recruit volunteers, but to also support, as you said, a friend that had a friend for 30 years and doesn't really know how to navigate the friendship anymore. And that program or that outreach could give them some support too.
Yeah,
knowing that it's not uncommon and it's not, it doesn't have to be
statistically
scary.
It's about 9.8% of the senior population that's living with some type of dementia. So, and we have a senior population in Sandpoint. So again, I'm thankful that we're on the radio with you this morning, because if you're a senior and you're listening, it's not going to have to be too hard to find somebody that you could relate this topic to.
And could I use a segue to just share? So I was doing some research last night on just the statistics in Idaho. And this is in 2025. It is estimating that 73,000 unpaid caregivers are in Idaho, and that they provide probably 116 million hours of care. And out of those numbers in Idaho, there's probably 33,000 Idahoans living with dementia or memory loss. So when you start putting those numbers together, just like what you were saying, Denny, it's something that is growing exponentially across the nation, not just here in Idaho. But I think what's really key, and I love this about the onboarding, Denny, because there's often people are experiencing something with someone at home or someone in their life with dementia, but they don't feel comfortable talking about it. You know, it's like the end of life thing. It's like the conversations don't happen. But a lot of people living with dementia and caring for someone with dementia often don't feel like there's anybody that gets them. They tend to end up doing this on their own.
Isolating,
and they don't have family members. And because as the illness progresses and they're, it's not as easy to take someone out in the public, there's even more isolation that happens. And then there's people that come over and say, I don't think I want to come over anymore because this person's kind of, I don't know how to even connect with them.
I don't feel comfortable. Yeah. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Real quick, I just want to let the CareFY listeners know that if you've just tuned in, we are here in the CareFY studios live this morning for the morning show. And I'm Susie Prez. I'm here with Lissa DeFreitas and Denny Williamson. They're program directors of the new and upcoming Sandpoint Friendship Station, and not just upcoming, really an essential reach out organization, and as you call it, a respite ministry. And ministry is like administration. You care.
Yeah.
You're reaching out. You're finding a place of need in our community, and you're dedicated to offering that. And it's a lot of information.
Yeah.
You mentioned dementia. I don't know. I think it's a scary word.
Yeah.
And that's what you're trying to also, besides giving this the respite care to participants, yes. Mm-hmm. and caregivers, mm-hmm. you're also taking away stigma,
yeah.
and misinformation and the scary word.
Yeah.
It becomes a word because what you just said about in Idaho,
yes.
33,000.
Yes.
That's and big. It's going to grow.
It's going to grow.
As the
it's
population
been growing
ages,
every year.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about it so much as how are we going to deal with this? Really, I mean, I've really seen a lot of different sides. As a caregiver, I can honestly say there was a moment in time when I was alone in the house. Well, because I had shut myself into the bathroom, to be really honest. And I said, I don't think I can do this one more day. And so I was at a point of desperation. So I know what that feels like. And if you don't have somebody that you're safe to go to, someone that has a structure that you can go to, people can lecture you all they want about the importance of self-care, but how are you going to do the self-care?
Yeah.
Dementia is you know, really a failure of the brain to do what it used to do. There's all different kinds of dementia, and it's not a normal part of aging. But when you have dementia of any kind, the specific kind you have will kind of dictate what kind of behaviors and outcomes you're going to have. One of my husband's first things was he lost his eyesight and his ability to navigate. People wouldn't think of that as dementia. He didn't lose his car keys. You know, he couldn't see at first. Some people have changes in behavior or what they say or what they do. So, you know, whatever it is as a caregiver, you're dealing with this. But if you don't have a safe place like Friendship Station and a safe community to go to, you aren't going to be able to get the self-care that you need. You won't be able to do the long haul as well because you don't have somebody. So we really didn't want to lecture. I didn't want to write any more books. I've written books before and things like that. But to me, the rubber has to hit the road yes. here. We have to be the friend to the neighbor, to the church goer. And we have to say, hey, at 7-Eleven Main Street on Wednesdays, you can sign up and you can register and you can be prepared to be a volunteer or you can come and bring your loved one.
And something that I want to just touch on, that it is not a drop-in.
No.
That we meet weekly, as Denny had shared, there's like a process
yes.
where she's working with the families who are going to make sure that we have an understanding of who's in the house
mm-hmm.
so that we can better prepare our volunteers how to be presence with each and every one.
And how the day will unfold yes. those mm-hmm. 2-4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is a good segue into the community.
Yeah.
How can our community support what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
So vital, mm-hmm. the work you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a hands-on participation,
mm-hmm.
But did I say that word right? Participation.
Yeah. Participation.
Funny word. Yeah, I mean, you could sign up to be a volunteer, but that's an interpersonal decision
sure.
because you feel, as you said, Alyssa, the calling for
yeah,
that.
The calling.
It is a calling. But how can the community participate?
Well, to go with the railroad yes. theme again.
Yes, please
we have what's called the conductor. You can become a conductor. That means if you are invested in an organization or a church or an agency or a business in Sandpoint, and you think, I would like to know what's going on at Friendship Station. I would like to keep up to date on what's going on so that when I know people that are struggling and need this service, I'm well able to connect them. We would like you to be a conductor, and that means you'd be on our newsletter, and we'd be asking you to think of one way your organization or business could sow into our work. We hope we might do gardening. We need art resources. We need maybe baked goods. We need what you have. So you can give an in-kind donation or support in ways. Maybe you're a fundraiser and you'd like to do a fundraising for us. There's so many ways that you can be connected with us and help us to keep on track and to keep going down the tracks, you know?
One of the things that I was thinking too, Denny, as you're sharing that, is it's planting the seeds in the community that it's okay to have a conversation about dementia. How do we do that? You know, and I know, like, when we were doing the onboarding, I loved at the Nazarene that, you know, Pastor Chad shared the five-minute video. It's only a five-minute video that Daphne Johnson puts out on the Respite for All Foundation. And it's just like a zinger. Mm-hmm. It just helps you understand what we're doing, what we're all about, and how as a community we can come together to partner with people with dementia and memory changes and their care partners. And so I think that by putting that out there more in the community and inviting churches to reach out to us and say, hey, we want to have an onboarding. We want to have some tools that we can share with our community, because maybe there's someone in our church community or congregation that is really struggling and they're alone, like, but they don't even know there's a resource.
It sounds like Sandpoint Friendship Station can also be an outreach. And I think I mentioned that a few minutes ago. To go to an organization, so if you're the conductor of your organization, you can reach out to sandpointfriendshipstation.com and make a connection to have someone come to your group and talk about it. Because not only is it important for the folks that participate on Wednesday in different ways, privately, you know, that's kind of a separate thing, but getting more information out about not just your organization, but about dementia in general can only help in our community and can only help individuals and families and things like that. So you probably have a speakers group.
We do. And we would also like to say that we have a scholarship program, a designated scholarship program. We're working under the nonprofit umbrella of the church, so people can donate online if they go to the Sandpoint United Methodist Church website and they go into donations. They will see a Respite for All, so they can donate directly to the Respite for All program. And then there's two main choices under that, is that if you want to give to scholarships, you can do that. People that come, the participants, their caregivers do have to pay a weekly fee to cover the cost of the food and the materials. So right now our weekly cost is $40 for a session. If you're looking at in-home caregiving right now, it usually costs around $40 an hour to hire somebody to come in to be with your loved ones. So we're offering 4 hours and lunch for $40 a day.
And that may be a lot for some people.
Yes, and we don't.
So you have the scholarship program, and you can donate to that by going to the UnitedMethodistChurch.com.
And
ORG, probably.
We also have it on our website.
Yeah, on your
website.
So
when you go to the website and you click on donation, it'll take you right to the link to the United Methodist Church. So you can go direct to our website.
And if you'd like to write checks, we have a mailing address, too.
And that is?
711 Main Street, Sandpoint, Idaho.
That's the United Methodist Church.
Yes.
So this is a donation, is a tax deductible donation, by the way, and they're going through the nonprofit United Methodist Church. I just want to send out again that you can get more information at sandpointfriendshipstation.com. You can also email at sandpointfriendshipstation@gmail.com, or you can call 208, which is on the website, 304-6624. You can explore being a volunteer. You can explore being a conductor and having someone come and talk to your group. You can make a donation.
That's beautiful. And Denny, I'm wondering, would you mind sharing with Susie and our community about this friendship station, the motif that you shared with us about how it came about?
Well, I don't know. We were challenged by the Respite for All Foundation to pick a name for our specific group. And, you know, you can't be out of hearing range of train whistles. And Sandpoint is just a railroad town. So the idea of a train station stop, you go to a train station to get on because you have a ticket to ride. And, you know, one thing I often said to my husband when he was in the time when he could reason was, we got a ticket to ride. This was long before Friendship Station. We got a ticket to ride. And if we could get a refund, we would get off this train and find something else to do. This is not how we plan to spend our 50s and 60s. Mm. I know, he died before he even got to 70. So, I mean, you know, so we have a ticket to ride. So that made sense to me. And, you know, a destination is you get on for a destination. But it's also a reality check that a station is just a station. You can come into a station. It's a place where you can get off the train, have some fellowship, have a good meal, maybe meet some good people. But, you know, your train is going to move on again. And so that's the thing to move on. We know that people will have to eventually move on from Friendship Station, and we want to build that capacity in our community, too, that we can hand off people to the next stop.
Mm-hmm. I just have a question. The future, even though you have just begun this program through inspiration and seeing a need in our community, that's how we build a beautiful community. What do you see as the next step? Just a little look into the future.
Mm. Well, first of all, we're expanding our volunteers so that we can welcome many participants, because as I've shared with Denny before and the United Methodist Church, the community is just waiting to know about this. Mm-hmm. I just really feel it. When you look at the numbers that are growing, I think we just need to put it out there so that we can make more space for participants to come. So creating new volunteers, and that at some point, even though we're one day a week, Denny and I are very clear that we would like to go 2 days a week as we continue to expand. And we've already had the blessing of the United Methodist Church to say, yes, we're on with you. We would love to do that. So we're looking in that direction.
Okay. Any last-minute thoughts or messages that you'd like to send out to our listeners? And by the way, I just want the listeners to know, if you didn't get to hear this whole conversation, which was illuminating and inspiring, you can go to our website after about noon today, and it will be a podcast on our website at krfy.org. Mm-hmm. And we podcast all of our morning show interviews, Monday beautiful. Through Friday interviews. So any last inspirational thoughts of the amazing and important work you're doing?
Well, I wanted to say that if you're listening and you're a caregiver or you're somebody who has a diagnosis, and we've talked about joy, you might think, you got to be kidding. That is the furthest thing from my mind right now. But there is really scientific evidence that our brains respond to joy, and that even when our other cognitive functions are gone, that love and joy are essential. So I have begun to say that living with someone who had Alzheimer's, working in dementia, is actually a gift that I never wanted, because it gives back a lot to community, and it really enriches your life when you try to stop doing it by yourself and you find people who understand you, love you, value you. You get loved and valued back. You know, listen, I get loved and valued back. We have the benefit of working together and being with an amazing group of people. So this is a gift you might not want, but it is a gift. And there is joy in it. There is care in it. There is community in it. And so I honestly think that dementia is a gift for our time. It's not just a problem. It's just not just a crisis. It's actually a gift, right, to make us slow down, to value what's really valuable, to really care about each other, and to find this community. And that fits Sandpoint, too.
Mm, it sounds like during the training for the volunteers, joy becomes a very important aspect of it. Any last-minute thoughts, Alyssa?
Well, I just concur with what you're saying, Danny, because when I think about my experience with Dan, I see that my gift that he has given me is teaching me to be present fully and to be really open to listening to what's going on for him and recognizing and celebrating his beautiful heart. Because even though he might not have memory, even though he might not have things, he has a sense of purpose because he has a family that loves him, and he feels that. And just, I want to say to the care partners that are out there, even if you don't have a family supporting you in this way, know that as a community, we're here to team with you, that mm-hmm. this is something, you are not alone. We are walking with you all the way.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good work, gals. I want to just say thanks for joining us today and telling us about this vital ministry in our respite ministry, in our community, Sandpoint Friendship Station. Lissa DeFreitas and Denny Williamson, best wishes on your work. I just want to leave with one last quote from Lissa that I found. Let's build a friendship station together where every life is honored, every caregiver supported, and every heart is welcomed.